Now, we've just heard how video games might affect our brains, but could computers ever have the power to predict our emotions and even change them? What about reading our minds? I'm joined now by Professor Peter Robinson, who's a computer scientist at Cambridge University. Hi, Peter.
Hello, Kat.
Your work just sounds absolutely fascinating. I've been browsing through your website. So tell me a bit about how do you get a computer to start interpreting something as complex as a human emotion or mood?
Well, we look at the way that people do it. So when people talk to each other, they look at the other person's face, they listen to their tone of voice, they watch their body posture and gesture, and they make inferences about what the other person's thinking and, with luck, change what they're doing accordingly. Now, of course, actually, we have a problem here. We're on the radio, so I can't see the people I'm talking to. And actually, people maybe don't know you're in a different studio from me, so I can't even see your face to know how you're reacting to what I'm seeing. This makes it very difficult. And this process of trying to understand what the other person's thinking, it's what psychologists call mind reading. It doesn't mean telling you what you ate for breakfast. It means just understanding whether you're interested or bored, confused or understanding. And computers don't do this. And some people don't do it. People who don't do it are at a disadvantage. It's people with autism spectrum conditions. And computers are, in a sense, autistic. And we can do something about that by using exactly the same technologies. Point a webcam at someone's face, listen to the tone of their voice, watch their body posture and gesture, and make inferences about what they're thinking.
So you can basically train computers to spot these signs of different human emotions.
That's right. It uses techniques that we call machine learning. So we have large amounts of data that have been prepared, images of people's faces, recordings of their voices or whatever, that have been very carefully labelled for what emotions or mental states are being depicted. And then we can, using computer systems, using a bit of statistical theory, probability theory, work out what the key factors are. And then when we're presented with some new information, we can actually make inferences about what that person might be thinking.
Now, this does sound kind of cool, but are there real life situations where this could be useful? I'm thinking back to the old Microsoft Office paperclip where it kind of pops up and goes, it looks like you're writing a letter. You know, I don't want a computer to go, you look like you're having a bad day.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's an incredibly clever piece of software. The inferences it was making about what you were doing, really clever. Its timing, not so good. It was, if you like, autistic. It wasn't detecting the context of whether you wanted that interruption or not. So the example that we've used, and you've perhaps watched the emotional computer video on YouTube that shows this, is a satellite navigation system in a car. If you're driving in an unfamiliar city centre, busy traffic, you're lost, the last thing you want is some voice springing up and telling you to make a U-turn. It's going to cause an accident. A more intelligent approach would be, well, a more intelligent satellite navigation system might see that you are confused and concentrating and realise that actually should be relieving you of cognitive burdens. So certainly make sure your mobile phone doesn't ring. Maybe turn off the radio. Sorry, but it is a distraction. And maybe even let you drive in the wrong direction for a bit until you recover your composure. And then when you're ready, steer you back in towards where you ought to be going.
So it would spot when I'm having a really bad time and maybe I've pulled over to the side of the road and it wouldn't say, turn left, shut up.
That's right. It could be a bit more peaceful. And of course, there are any number of applications in everyday computing, things like online teaching systems that could see whether you were enjoying the lesson or you were confused or whatever. Online shopping systems that could notice how your face registered different products that you were looking at and then show you more appropriate ones as next possible choices.
Again, this sounds cool, but it's slightly concerning. I'm not sure if I want my phone to know whether I'm feeling peckish or have had a bad day and it shows me chocolate to buy. There's kind of ethical and privacy concerns here, aren't there?
There certainly are. I have to say also the technology isn't that good yet, so I'm not sure that you really need worry too much. But actually there are things that we can monitor through mobile phones that are really quite important. Major health issues we can detect for people with depression, and that's what 10% of the population, we can monitor the phase of their depression from things like the way in which they're walking, and that can be picked up from the accelerometers in a mobile phone. So actually this could be really quite a useful tool for health.
One of the other things that you mentioned earlier was about people who have problems with understanding other people's emotions, things like autism and Asperger's. Tell me about some of the work that you're doing to try and help these kinds of people.
Well, it brings us back to the intelligent games that we were hearing about from Chicago. We've been working, I've been working with Simon Baron Cohen in the Autism Research Centre of Cambridge and half a dozen research groups around Europe to put together an intelligent game for children with autism spectrum conditions that will teach them about emotions. So it's an adventure game. They like that. It's engaging. And we then have systems like face monitoring, like voice monitoring, like body posture monitoring that we can use to teach them about emotions and tell them how well they're emulating themselves. You learn a lot by imitating.
So they maybe see a happy face and it go, this is happy, look happy. And then it would tell them if they were looking happy as well.
Yes, it's a little less patronising than that, but that's sort of the general idea, yeah. Games like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? So you have a picture up with four possible interpretations and they've got to say which interpretation is the best one and they can get help as they go.
Good luck with it and we look forward to hearing more about it in the future. That's Peter Robinson, Professor of Computing at Cambridge University.